As I think of this, what we honor today to be, and I think, how would you describe this? I think of a verse, except the Lord build a house, they're going to labor in vain that build it. And I see that the same way of trying to describe a risen Savior and who Christ is. We will always come short the very best we can do. But we do ask the Lord to meet with us and describe it to us. There's a song that has been sung in the past. It says, tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus. Yes. Write it on my heart, every word. You know, we have such a blessing today to be able to hear this and for it to be a part of who we are. I thought of this. Tell me the story of Jesus. You know, we are so blessed today to have the full Bible. Yes. I can look at the 11 disciples and the followers of Christ. And when Jesus hung on the cross and was put in the tomb, you know, they had all hope was gone. Yeah. There was none of them that said, hey, wait, hang on, folks. Don't you remember he's going to rise in 3 days? There was nothing left. And I thought about that. We hear in the past, sometimes in the news, Paul Harvey would give us a description of a story. We've heard that story, but we haven't heard all of it. And then he would add a little detail that we didn't know anything about. And then he said, now you know the rest of the story. Today we are privileged to know the rest of the story. The story they had was real time. I was looking over in Matthew 27th chapter. It ended with Jesus in the tomb and the soldiers there to guard it. And they did not have a 28th chapter to show the resurrection. It was over for them. It was done for. Seemed like the end for them. And I thought about, you know, sometimes we can have that happen in our life. Seem like the end has come because we're living in real time. But if we could only by faith we understand some things. Yes. By faith we understand that, you know what, Jesus is in control today. Yes. He is alive and well. It's not just that he arose, but Stephen was able to see him at a time when he really needed some encouragement. Saw him not just sitting by the Father, but standing there. What an encouragement that was to him. You know, sometimes we have, our life is like a puzzle. Got a bunch of pieces and we are able to figure out some of them where they go. But sometimes we just can't get them all together. But Christ knows all about it. He knows how to bring those things together. His timing is always right. I would like to go to a verse in Hebrews. And we'd like for the Lord to visit us today. In Hebrews 12:2, this kind of sums up a lot of time here in the second verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, in Revelations, did anything come to Jesus as a surprise? You know, last Sunday was Palm Sunday. He went into the city with a lot of honor. It said multitudes were throwing palm branches and their clothes down for him to, the little donkey that he was riding to trot on them, coming in as a victor. But you know, Jesus knew the future. He didn't let that cause him to get lifted up. He knew what was out ahead. And it says in Revelations that he was a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. There was a plan in place way back there that could bring man back to the right place again. I am thankful for that. I'd like to look at a verse in Galatians. Because, you know, sometimes we will think, God, you need to work this way and in this time. Look at this in Galatians 4 and 4. When the fullness of time was come. How many years was that that passed from the time of Adam and Eve? Thousands of years. And God allowed it to be so. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law. So I'm thinking today about the power that Christ has. He showed that power through this past week. This past week I've been trying to look in the scriptures and see as best I could, okay, what's happening on this day? Palm Sunday was clear, and today is clear, and Friday is clear. And then you can see some things that happen in between there. I would like to look at some of those because in those they tell me something about the power of Christ. A lot of times if I were to want to talk about the power of Christ, I would talk about the waves that were about to capsize the boat. And all he had to do was just say, peace, be still. Something abnormal power there. But I would like for us to get a view of the power of Christ, how he handled himself through this past week. And I'd like to go to Matthew 26. Here is the power of Christ. Then again, Jesus saith to him, put up again thy sword into its place. All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? The power of Christ, in a word, he could have brought it all to a stop. 12 legions of angels could have come and delivered him. And yet the power of Christ was that he realized, I'm on a mission. I've got something that I'm working toward. Knowing that he was the Son of God, and that power that he had to stop it at any time gives me a whole lot of respect for him. And you know, it says for us to follow in his steps. Lord, help me to be able to, when I have the power to be able to say something back to someone. You remember he had the power to cut loose and go to talking to Pilate. And it says in some places he answered him not a word. Just kept it quiet to himself. The power that he had there. He was able to know the future. To predict what is happening next. He knew what was going to be. You know, to us, it seems like that when he hung on the cross and was put in the grave, it was out of control. You remember when the religious leaders of that time, when they saw him hanging on the cross and said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. You know, he had the power right then to show them something. Because they said, if you'll come down, we will believe. We'll be a believer if you come down. He had the power to be able to restrain himself and let the scriptures be fulfilled. I was looking at some of those scriptures that were fulfilled. How was it that Judas, when he went to those people and he covenanted with them to sell Jesus to them, how was it that it just happened to be 30 pieces of silver? You know, it happened to be fulfillment of scripture. Yeah. he's going to be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Scriptures fulfilled. You remember when Judas came back? Judas didn't probably realize that he was fulfilling scripture. You remember Jesus said, "Woe to that man by whom this cometh." But Judas, when he came back and he threw the money down and said, "I've betrayed a just man." And the chief priests and them said, "What is that to us? See thou to it." What did they do with the 30 pieces of silver? It said they bought the potter's field. And then it says, you know what? That was fulfilling scripture of what was going to be done. You know, Jesus way back there from the foundation of the earth, willing to be a sacrifice for us. Yeah. Nothing was out of control for him. I'd like to look at the portion in John in the 19th. Because even today we can look at that and kind of understand how Jesus' followers must have felt when Jesus is hanging on the cross and doesn't come down. 19 and 10 of John. "Then spake Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not to me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee?" You know, we could look at it and, you know what? Pilate had some power. And he's letting Jesus know that. "Don't you know I have power to crucify thee? And I have power to release thee?" Jesus spoke up then. He answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that hath delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." You know, Jesus is realizing and letting him know, "Pilate, you think you have power to put me to death? You don't have any power. God could release me from this if he wanted to. The only power that you have is it's all fulfilling some scripture." So talking about the power that Jesus had, look in the 10th chapter of the book of John, 10 and 17. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again." You know what? That's where we are today. He laid down his life so that he could take it again. "No man taketh it from me." Whoa, wait a minute. There were some people that took it from him. No. It says here, "No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." So what it says is, it wasn't the chief priest. It wasn't the others that forced him to hang on the cross. It was that Jesus realized this is what needs to be done for me today to be able to be saved. Yes. I am so thankful that he had control of himself. At any time he could say, you know, there's things rise up in us sometimes when somebody just talks about us, to us. Jesus, knowing who he was and knowing the power that he had, was willing to give of himself. Matthew 28 and 18, "All power is given me in heaven and in earth." And we could look at that scripture and say, well, wait, how did it happen then that he died on the cross? Because all power was given him in heaven and in earth. And he was willing, "I have the power to lay down my life. I have the power to take it up again." That's a comfort to me. Because today it seems like, again, this world is out of control. But God is in control. And you know, he allows things to work a purpose. We may never fully understand what the purpose is. The disciples on that night when the stone was rolled in front of the tomb, it was all over. You remember where Peter, he said, "I go a fishing. just going on back to what I used to know. But Jesus was the one that had the power. Our life today is not out of control. It may seem like it. But if we could just look back, then I tell you what, if Jesus could be in control and allow himself to die on the cross because he had a bigger plan for us, he can take care of any problem that we're faced with. I'd like to look in the second chapter of John now, because he gave them some instruction and maybe they just did not understand what he was saying. 2:18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what signs showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. You know, this was the very thing that caused him to be put to death. They tried to have witnesses say one thing and another, and finally a witness came and said, I heard him say this. He said, you destroy this temple and I'll raise it back up again. Well, here it says, the Jews said in the 20th verse, 46 years was this temple in the building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Look at that 21st verse. He spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, it wasn't until he was risen from the dead that his disciples remembered that he had said this to them. And they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. So he had given this information. destroy this temple. Destroy this body. And in 3 days it'll rise again. So I would like to look at another place. Mark in the 16th chapter gives us a little description of that third day. Mark 16. And 1. So just think if we had lived there and we did not have this chapter ahead of us to know it's going to be. You know, I could easily have told them, because I have the chapter, to tell them, hey, on the first day of the week, he's going to rise. Come on, just wait there for him. In fact, a bunch of y'all be there and you could see it happen maybe. But instead, they didn't have this chapter for themselves. You know, folks, we don't have tomorrow lined out for us either. It's going to take some faith to believe. In here, Jesus had given them some understanding. 3 days and I'll rise again. But they forgot it because they were looking at what had happened. It's not possible to rise again the way they treated him. Stuck a spear in his side and he died there. He died and then they stuck the spear in his side to make sure. And they buried him in this tomb. It just can't happen. But here it is. He said unto his disciples, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong one. In Mark 16. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Were they expecting to see a risen Lord? No, he's still dead, but we're going to do the duty that needs to be done. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? So their thoughts are, it is still continued. He's still dead and in the grave. When they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. They entered the sepulcher, and there they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. He saith to them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. What kind of news came to some? I wonder what they did with the spices that they had brought and the things that they were planning on using. He's not here. He's gone. Now you go tell the disciples. And it says, they went out quickly and fled. Yeah, I believe I would too. Fled from the sepulcher, For they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. So you think about this. I can hardly take it in. I've seen an angel now that just told me he's risen. But I remember what happened 2 days ago on that Friday, and there's no way that it could happen. In fact, we brought these spices to take care of his body. Who's going to roll the stone away so we can do it? And they fled. You know, there was someone else that fled. It was the soldiers. They fled and headed for the temple to have a talk to the chief priests of what had happened. You know, the chief priests had heard about that, destroy this temple, and I'll build it again in 3 days. How do we know that? Because they came back to Pilate and said, we have heard this deceiver say that in 3 days I'll rise again. So just in case the last state of this would be worse than the first, we need some soldiers here to protect this place. And Pilate says, go take care of it. So they had some knowledge of what could happen, what Jesus had predicted to happen. Now, you remember when Jesus was on the cross, they said he saved others, himself he cannot save. If you will come down, we will believe. You know, here's another opportunity for them to believe. Here comes the soldiers that tell them the exact story of what happened. Did they believe? Didn't. How did they take care of the situation? They gave large sums of money to them for them to be quiet. If anybody should ask you what happened, you just say, while we were sleeping, the disciples came and stole his body away. And it says, in fact, let's go take a look at that. In Matthew 28 and 11. Because I think this has something for us. So it says here, say ye, 13th verse, his disciples came by night, stole him away while we slept. If this come to the governor's ears, we'll persuade him and secure you. They took the money, did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. You know, there are believers, and there are some that will never believe. Yes. I thought about these same people when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. There were a whole lot of people that were interested in that story. Enough people were interested in that story that the chief priests got upset about it. And they said, this is drawing too much attention to Jesus. So what was their plan to take care of the problem? We're going to kill Lazarus again. We're going to put him back to death so there'll be no ability to tell this story. Well, look at this one. Here's the opportunity for the chief priest to believe in Christ. He is risen. He is what he said he would be. But instead, with that opportunity, they passed it by. In fact, I'm going to give you enough money that you won't tell what really happened. You know, I think of that today. I have an opportunity to believe. Yes. The world around us has an opportunity to believe. Lord, help me. The things that I can't understand, yes, to have faith to believe those things. Yes. Jesus' resurrection today, 1 week after Palm Sunday, when he entered into the temple, right after as he passed through the town. Why didn't Jesus go back to the temple this morning, way back there? Because they wouldn't believe. If they had paid money to say he was taken away, what would it take for them to have believed? We heard this verse this morning in Sunday school. It's Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts than yours. You know, my ways and my thoughts would say, Lord, you could have gone back in there this morning and say, hey, 7 days ago I was here and I'm here again. Look at my hands and my feet. I'm the same one. But he didn't do it. But he did appear to some people. So let's go back to Mark 16 and the 9th verse. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. You remember this story? The 2 men walking along and Jesus appears to them, but they don't recognize him and they talk with him. And then after he leaves and they said, you know, did not our hearts burn within us on the road to Emmaus? And they went back to tell the others. Here's the ones that he did meet up with. You know, he didn't go to the crowds, but he did go to those that believed in him. And I'm thinking of this in Philippians. Because of all that Jesus went through, the power he had to restrain himself to be able to go through it. In Philippians 2, it said in the 5th verse, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, this is now a challenge for me today, that when the world around should come up against me, that I realize, you know what, I don't have to defend myself. I can put that in the hands of the Lord. It says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. But that's not the end of the story. As Paul Harvey said, there's the rest of the story. And here it is. Wherefore God, 9th verse, hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. You know what? That's today. Every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Both of those are suggestions. Should do it. But you know, those 2 verses are found again where it says every knee will bow. Yeah. One day, every knee will do it. Yes. Just thinking of Stephen, how much he needed some comfort. And when he did, he saw the heavens opened up. Yes. And Jesus standing there next to the Father. So I'd like to look at another verse now. What does the resurrection mean for us today? So I look at 1 Corinthians. Because it's true that Jesus had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. But you know, Lazarus died again. He is buried somewhere today. Our testimony of Jesus is, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And I am very thankful for that. In 1 Corinthians 15 and in the 12th verse. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there was no resurrection of the dead? So apparently there were some people back here that said, no, there's not going to be a resurrection. When you die, that's just the end of it. But instead, this says, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then we're going to have to admit that Christ is not risen. And it goes on down. If in this life, 19th verse, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know what? I am very thankful that in this life we can have Jesus' help in living as he lived. But I am so thankful for a hope that we have that goes beyond the grave. because he was resurrected, we can be resurrected. If in this life only I have hope in Christ, folks, the hope that we need is that hope that after I breathe my last breath, after having lived maybe a long time and be 80 years old, is just the beginning if I can be resurrected to live with him. I think about also the resurrection. We have a song that we sing, From Death to Life. And it says, a resurrection, I confess, has taken place within my breast. You know what? That's because of him being in control of himself during the crucifixion and when all that was done against him. I've been awakened from the dead, and now I live with Christ instead. And then it has another one. There's a resurrection coming also. It says, there light and life without an end into eternity shall blend. That's after I have died. And if I have lived faithful to the Lord, I can also be resurrected to be with him forever. I am so thankful for this day. And I'm not sure that we need to let this only be one time a year that we stop. Tell me the story of Jesus. We probably, in this day and time we live in, need to review it more often. The power that he had to control himself, he could have called 12 legions of angels and suffered none. But he had a plan. There was a plan for him to die for us. But he didn't just die, he raised again. And today I am very thankful for it. That song that was sung a while ago, I serve, this is in the present tense, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. Folks, we're living in a time where there's a lot of folks saying a lot of things about what God will accept and what he won't accept. But there's a verse that we need to remember. It's in Romans. What does it say in that song? I know that he is living, whatever men may say. Romans 3:3. What if some did not believe? What if the chief priests, the ones that should have been the most religious back then, did not believe? What if they didn't? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. God is true today. You know what? No matter which direction our world goes, as it drifts farther and farther away from God, let's remember something. He's still real within my heart. I serve a risen Savior today. And my desire is to continue to serve that Savior to the day that I am also resurrected to be with him. I desire your prayers.